The Living Hope Church. It's so good to be here this morning. And as I said before, if you are a guest, I want you to know that you are an honored guest. With all of the things that are going on in the world today, sometimes we wonder how these things could possibly happen. And as we've looked during this past week, you've seen people looking for answers. They look for answers from the police department. They look for answers from our politicians. They look for answers from Congress. Good luck with that one. They look for answers from our president. But there's only answers to be found in one spot, and that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, people wonder how these things can get into the hearts of men for all of this discourse. But if we fill our hearts with Jesus, if we fill our hearts with praising God, there is simply no more room left in there. Amen? And so that way, the hatred of the world cannot get in when it is filled with Jesus Christ. Today's message is perpetual praise. Please turn in the Word of God to Psalm chapter 57 and verse 7. Psalm chapter 57 and verse 7. If you have God's Word in your hands, Bible all over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format, please hold it up over your head right now. Amen. We want to see the Word of God used in God's house. You will be using your Bibles a lot today. Amen. That was a good spot for an amen, church. All right. So we are going to begin by reading from Psalm 57, verse 7. I begin today's message like I begin every single week. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 57, if you look at the top of the chapter of Psalm 57, it says, prayer for safety from enemies to the chief musician, set to do not destroy. In other words, this psalm was done to a particular kind of music. It says, a michtam of David when he fled from Saul. Michtam means gold or precious. Our praise is to be precious before our Father. Our praise is to be as precious as gold before our Father. Look at Psalm 57, verse 7, reading from the Word of God. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon your Word. Father, we ask a blessing upon the teacher today. Let his lips speak without any error in any way. Let his words be your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise is all that there is of me responding to all that I know about God. We are to worship the Lord in spirit. We are to worship the Lord in truth. And worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth is letting the Holy Spirit inside of you send holy praise to a holy God. Amen? Amen. Worshiping the Lord in truth means that praise should be based upon the eternal, established truth of God's Word. You will notice that when Living Hope Church sings, we sing Scripture. We sing Holy Scripture unto our Father. You see, true worshiping of God in truth is when we no longer hide how we feel about our God. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Have you ever been in a service where they just seem dead in their worship? You know, they have what I call the worship killers. You know, you're sitting there singing and you're praising God during the worship and you raise your hand in praise and they give you one of these. We've all been in churches like that, amen? Friends, if we worship God in truth, it's allowing ourselves with decorum, with honor, with order in our worship, but to worship our God in spirit and truth. And so many Christians are inhibited in their worship when they should be inhabited by the power of God. Do you realize who it is that we come to worship each Sunday? So we are to praise God from principle and not praise God from impulses or emotions. In this magnificent passage we just read, and the passages that we will read throughout today, this passage says that my heart is steadfast. It means that it no longer matters, but I'm going to worship my Lord. Flip over to Psalm chapter 34, verse 1 now for a moment. Just a few pages away. Psalm 34, verse 1. And by the way, if you're one of those people that brings a journal to church, God bless you. Because we give you notes to follow along, but a journal is always better. If you have a journal with you today, raise your hand around here. Anybody? Hey, there we go. Amen. All over the sanctuary. You should have a journal with you when we come to worship our Father. If you're at Psalm 34, please say amen. Now, I'm going to read through this, and I'm just going to make a couple of little bullet points. You may want, as I read through this, to write these other sub-points down about Psalm 34. We're going to read from 1 through 11. If you dare, say amen. Amen. The first three verses are all about the people who worship God, people who praise God, have their faith bolstered. Their faith is bolstered, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Magnify the Lord. Listen, verses 4 and 5 are all about when we praise, the fear that we may have in our heart is banished from us. Look at 4 and 5. It says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I've looked at the biblical Hebrew there. The word all means all. Banished from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Verses 6 and 7 says that when we praise God, our foes are beaten. Look at this, verse 6 and 7. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. You ever have fear in your heart? Call upon the name of the Lord and your foes will be beaten. Verses 8 through 10 says that when you praise a holy God, that your favors are bestowed upon your life. Look at verses 8 through 10. If you're there, still there, say amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. All good comes from our Heavenly Father. And if you praise a holy God, verse 11 says that your future is brighter. Look at verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is what is missing in our society these days, friends. Parents that are no longer teaching their children the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. The honoring of the Lord is a magnificent thing. So when we take part in perpetual praise, being steadfast, back to Psalm 57 verse 7, means that I am going to praise my God at all times because my heart is set in its way to worshiping a holy God. That's where my heart is set. My heart is set to singing and worshiping and praising God. Here's something that you may not know. Here's a nugget for you this morning. Did you know that there is more emphasis in the Bible on praise than there is on prayer? There's more emphasis on praise than there is on prayer. We'll find out why in a couple of moments. Because prayer, in the strictest sense of the meaning of prayer, asks for something from God. Whereas praise doesn't ask anything from God. Praise of a holy God simply ascends into the throne room of God. A sweet aroma, a sweet-smelling incense into the presence of Almighty God. Today we have 3 points in our note, and please follow along, jot these things down as we do. First, we praise God so that we reverence the Lord. We reverence the Lord. You see, friends, the entire universe of all things, living and non-living, that means even the rocks are to declare one great praise to our God. If you look on the screen, you'll see Psalm chapter 45 and verse 10. It says, all of your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Did you know that when you praise God, you are a blessing to God? Did you know that? Visitors, when you joined in with the praise and worship this morning, you blessed God. Now, I was over here singing with all my heart, hoping that there were people around me singing so nobody else heard my voice. But the Lord heard my heart, and my praise was a blessing to my Father in heaven. It says, all thy works give praise to the Lord. The flowers say, praise the Lord. The beast of the field says, praise the Lord. The rivers and the streams and the valleys say, praise the Lord. The stars like great chandeliers in the sky say, praise the Lord. What about the heavens themselves? What about heaven itself? We're going to take a journey through the book of Revelation for the next few moments. Please turn in the Word of God to Revelation chapter 4. Did you know that there are 14 doxologies in the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 4. It's easy to find. It's at the back of the Bible. If you're like me and you get a book, I don't know about you, I like to read the end to see if we win or not. I've read the end of the Bible. We win. Amen. I thought that, there we are. I knew I'd get an amen on that one. There are 14 doxologies in the Bible. If you're on my Wednesday night crew, the folks that come on Wednesday night, and you know what's coming about these 14 doxologies, please raise your hand. There we go, all over the sanctuary. You know, listen, circle these verses. Just circle the verse itself in your Bible on what's coming. Look at the praises in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. If you're there, please say amen. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, reading from the Word of God. Verses 8, 9, and 10, actually. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Did you know the incense in the heaven is your prayers? And they sang a new song. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place here. See, you got to stop me. You guys got to stop me. I was on a roll. It was sounding good. It was sounding fluid. That's right. Let's back up. Doxology 1. All right. Revelation 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is the seraphim, the same seraphim that we see in Isaiah chapter 6. Rendering praise to God. Doxology number 2, verse 11, the same chapter. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's the elders of heaven giving praise unto God. Look at Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. This is the saints of heaven. It says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue of people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. One day, saints, you will be kings and priests and reign on earth with King Jesus. Doxology number 4, Revelation verses 5, verses 11 and 12. Read verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That is once again the hosts of heaven. Verse 13, and every creature, how many creatures? Every which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. What a great, great blessing it is. Flip over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's doxology number 6. Doxology number 7, Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. If you're still there, say amen. Let's read verse 12 saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. And then they place an Amen on that. That there is when the seraphim, the elders, and the angels all come together to declare praise and honor to God. Doctologies 9 through 13, get with me after service. I'll let you mark them in your Bibles. But those doxologies are the seven angels of the bowl judgments as they rendered each judgment giving praise to a holy God. Doxology number 14, turn to Revelation chapter 19. This is where it gets real good. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 8. If you're there, please say amen. 6 through 8. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb is come and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Why did I go through all of that? Because the passages, go home and read them afterwards today. Passages 11 through 16 is the return of Christ. Do you want to see God show up? Do you want to see Jesus return? Do you want to see our King come in glory and great power? Then render praise unto our Heavenly Father. When the times are good, render praise to our Father. When times are difficult, render praise to our Father. When the world makes no sense whatsoever, give praise to our Heavenly Father and look for God to show up in our lives. Praise God with all your heart. So first we saw that our perpetual praise allows us to reverence the Lord. Second, perpetual praise allows us to resist the devil. It allows us to resist the devil. The screens will catch up in just a second. For some reason, Satan fears our praise more than he fears our prayer. I'm going to say that one more time. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought my own. For some reason, Satan fears our praise more than he fears our prayers. Because when we praise God, God shows up. God shows up. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You're saying, wow, Pastor, you said we're going to be using our Bibles today a lot, and we are. Yes, we are. Amen. I love the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Very famous story there about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good king of Judah. And enemies of God's people had shown up and were threatening to destroy Judah. And Jehoshaphat says in verses 15 through 19, he says, we're going to get things right here and we're going to praise our God. In spite of what is coming, in spite of who wants to destroy us, in spite of what the world says, we are going to praise God. Now notice in verses 20 and 21. Verses 20 and 21. This is so good. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Wait a minute. Who's leading the people to worship God there? The king. The leader of the country is leading the people and saying, We are going to do what's coming here. Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. Listen to this. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. They were going out to do battle. Jamie, that's one of the greatest verses. Brother Cliff, that's one of the greatest verses in all the Bible on church music. Right there. Look again at verse 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. They went out before the army of God and were saying, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Most people want God to bless them before they praise Him. But God says that there will be no victory in your lives until you go out and you praise me. And who's supposed to lead the worship? The preacher and the praise team. Think about that concept for a moment. Think about that whole idea. Can you imagine a person commanding the troops in Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever our soldiers are doing battle, getting the soldiers together and saying, we are prepared, we have our weapons, but here's what we're going to do. You're not going to fire a single shot. You're not going to drop a bomb. You're not going to send a tank. You're not going to launch an airplane. You're not going to do anything until we get together and sing together, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Give us the victory, Father, if it is within your will. Can you picture the police getting together before they go out on duty saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Can you picture Congress doing that? Can you picture the President and his staff doing that? Listen, God gave victory back then when His people praised Him. And God will give victory today when God's people praise Him. Invoke the presence of God through praise. Psalm 22:3 says that God inhabits the praise of His people. Inhabits means that praise is God's address. Our praise is where God lives. You want to rebuke Satan? Praise God. Praise God. Look at Psalm 150 on the screen. How much are we to praise God? It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the sound, with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. That's cymbals, guys. Wait a minute, dance. All right, we're Baptists, so you can move your hips or your feet, not both. Praise Him with the string instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with the dashing cymbal, clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All together, praise the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. So first we see that perpetual praise allows us to reverence the Lord. Second, it allows us to resist the devil. Third, perpetual praise allows us to release the Holy Spirit of God. Perpetual praise allows us to release the Spirit. Listen, God's Holy Spirit acts in response to your praise. I don't think you guys got that. Hello, anybody here? God's Holy Spirit acts in response to your praise. God moves with your praise. God goes into action with your praise and your prayers. I truly believe the best advice I can give you on praise is to read and study the Psalms. Every day, read at least one Psalm. Every day, read a chapter of Proverbs. Personally, I read 5 Psalms and 1 Proverb every day. With 150 Psalms and 31 Proverbs, I can get through those in a month. Amen? That's my month right there. Praising God. And getting a little wisdom along the way. By the way, Proverbs really beats me up sometimes because I see stuff in there I didn't do. Proverbs will give you wisdom for the day. Psalm will teach you to pray and to praise. You know what? You may say, well, Pastor, I'm really busy. I'm so busy. You want me to read 5 Psalms and 1 Proverb a day? Yes, I do. Do you watch TV for 3, 4, 5 hours a day? Reading 5 Psalms and 1 Proverb will take you less than 15 minutes. I promise you. But you say, how am I going to find the time in Proverbs and Psalms? How am I going to find that time to get the power of God in my life? Listen to me very closely. You ready? Say amen if you're ready.
Amen.
If you're too busy to praise, then you're too busy. Praise of your God comes first. Praise of your holy God comes first. You see, when you're focused on praising God, then nothing else matters. You become that salt of the earth. And when you become that salt of the earth, what does salt make people? When people taste salt, it makes you thirsty. Amen? When you are the salt of the earth, people will see that in your life. They will see the joy that you have, the victory that you have in your life because you praise your God. And that saltiness of your life will make them thirsty for the living water of Jesus Christ. We've got far too many churches where they have corrupt salt and hidden light. We need to pass the salt and turn on the light. Amen?
Amen.
Went right off my notes there. Jim, you're supposed to keep track of me on that. Listen, guys. The Holy Spirit of God moves in when we believe God. Praise is the outward expression of the inward confidence that we have a great God. Do you have a great God? Or do you have a little bitty God? Because your praise reflects what you think of your God. So first, we saw that perpetual praise allows us to reverence the Lord. Second, it allows us to resist the devil. Third, it allows us to release the Holy Spirit. Fourth, it will allow us to refresh the saints. To refresh the saints. Praise is the highest function of the human spirit. In fact, it's the highest function the human spirit can attain because man becomes like what he worships. Man becomes like what he worships. Do you love the things of the world? You will become like the world. Do you love and worship and reverence the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you will from day to day become more like Jesus Christ to the world. On the screen we should see 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Great passage. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into what? The same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you praise God, it changes you. When we worship God as we ought to worship God, then we become like God as we ought to become like God. We are to become like the Lord in our worship and like the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, people say, well, Pastor Larry, you're dancing around a little bit of a verse there. No, I'm not. We are created in whose image? God's image. And when we worship God as Christ worshiped God, we become more and more like Jesus Christ from moment to moment. I have said it so many times that when we worship, we should see the face of God in our hearts. We should have a recreation of that moment in the Garden of Eden where God bent down and formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and then He breathed life into Adam's nostrils, and Adam opened his life, and the first thing that he saw was the face of God. That's how our worship should be. When we worship, we should not be surprised if the roof disappeared and the host of heaven were looking in and glorifying God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Real worship creates an encounter with God. And when all that you know of yourself responds to all that you know of God, you are changed in the same image as we read in that passage, from glory to glory. How close do you want to be with your God? It's reflected in your praise. You know, my heart gets blessed so many times by the members of our church. You know, I was blessed by a young man, very young man, Francis, one Wednesday night, and he said such a simple thing. He said, "Pastor," he said, "we have to go out of town, and I hate that because I don't want to miss church. I don't want to miss church at Living Hope Church." That speaks to the whole experience here. It's not about the pastor. It's not just about the people. It's not just about the praise team or the greeters. It's about the fact that at Living Hope Church, all that come near are welcome, and we worship a holy God.
Amen.
I believe that God is going to do amazingly great things here. Amen? Amen. So first, we saw that perpetual praise allows us to reverence the Lord. Second, to resist the devil. Third, to release the Spirit. Fourth, to refresh the saints. Finally, perpetual praise allows us to reach the sinner. It allows us to reach the sinner. Turn one last time to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. As soon as I get there, I'll be with you. And I hope somebody's going to get our students and children right now. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 through 3. If they're there, please say amen.
Yes.
Oh, man. What's it titled? What's this chapter titled? Faith, persevering in trial. It's a psalm of David. Remember that David was the shepherd before he became David, the person who fooled around on his wife, the adulterer. But through his praise and his acknowledgement of God, he became David the psalmist again. Chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. You ever notice God is right on time? Right on time. I notice He's never early. So He's right on time. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. When you cry out to the Lord in your praise and your prayers, heaven stops, and God turns and looks and listens to what you have to say. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I love the song when we sing that song here. And set my feet upon a rock and established my songs. If you ever wonder where that song came from? Came from Scripture. Look at this. Because of that, because the Lord heard my cry, because the Lord lifted me out of the miry pit and the clay and lifted me up. Look at verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. God brings us up out of the pit. God puts us upon the rock. God puts a song in our hearts. It's not just the kind of song that we can hear. It's the kind of song that you can sing. It's the kind of song that you can see. Because it says, many shall see it and shall fear. When Living Hope Church gets all of their heart singing with all that they believe about all that we know about the Heavenly Father, then every demon in Broward County is going to have to exit. When you leave here, you'll see a sign by the door that says, you are now entering your mission field. You go out these doors declaring the truth of Jesus Christ. Let the name of Jesus be on your lips. Every demon will flee. He puts a song in our heart. It's the kind of song that we can see. Many shall see it in fear. What does this mean to the Christian? What does that mean? What does that all mean to the Christian? It means that we are to be a two-legged praise song in a major key, Brother Cliff. People, the world, are to look at our lives and say, what gives them that joy? Why is Sister Raphaella so joyful in the circumstances of her life? Why did Miss Ruth Ann stay so faithful all those years? What brought her that joy? What gives them that perpetual victory? What enables the Christian that's going through difficult times to live day after day after day after day after day in victory, even when things seem to be going wrong in their lives? When the cancer comes, when the heart attack happens, when it seems that you've been faithful and you wonder what God is up to with these circumstances in your life. Friends, it's the steadfast trust that the world looks at. The world looks at our steadfast trust that God is God and we are not. And God knows best. Amen?
Amen.
He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all glory. And there's no greater means of reaching out to the unsaved than to see the beauty of Jesus Christ proclaimed in the lives of God's people through their perpetual praise. Praise God. Be a joy to the people you meet. When the Christian is asked how they're doing, you can be truthful if things are going difficult. But when you say, but God, say it with joy in your heart. Don't say, but God knows. Don't do that. Say, but God knows. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar was going to cast them into the fiery pit unless they bowed down and worshiped them, they said, O king, live forever. They acknowledged that he was a king. They said, you may do that. And our God is able to save us. But whether he does or he does not, we will not bow down to you. We will worship our God. You see, don't bow down to the things of the world. You bow down to your Heavenly Father and you lift up perpetual praise. Be a joy to people that you meet. Evangelism grows when God's people praise Him. Greeters, where's my greeters? All my greeters, look up here. There is evangelism in your smile of welcome when people come in. Ushers, there is evangelism in your welcome when you show someone a seat. Praise singers, there is evangelism in the great joy that you show in your worship. Praise band, there is evangelism in your preparation and your enthusiasm and your willingness to rehearse and do the very best you possibly can because we serve a glorious God. Living Hope membership, there is evangelism in your welcoming face and your friendly face to our visitors that come in. Congregation of all that are here and on the internet, there is evangelism in the amens when the preacher declares the truth of God's Word. When there is that praise, when there is that joy, when there is that victory, then there is a holy contagion that takes place in the world. And people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When? When God's people praise Him with perpetual praise. Listen to me, church. When God's people praise Him with perpetual praise, when these things that we talked about today happen, when you are that light, when you are that joy, when you are that salt of the earth, during the invitation, I won't have to beg people to come forward to receive Jesus Christ. You guys will have to hold them back until the invitation. That's what will happen. Which is where we are now, at the invitation. Because everything that we've said today is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ means this. People say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means this. It means that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came from heaven to earth in human form. He lived a perfect, sinless life on this world. He died on the cross for our sins. He was in the grave 3 days. But on the third day, He rose again. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And Scripture says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you confess with your mouth your sins, you will be saved. So salvation is simple as this. We're not trying to fool anybody, whether you're here in this sanctuary or watching on the internet or you've been handed a DVD or CD by one of our members. Living Hope Church's prayer is that you come to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't want to get to heaven without you. Why does it have to be Jesus? Because Jesus said so. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I finished today's sermon as I began it. With grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All over the sanctuary, every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.